Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside we're full of extortion and self-indulgence. It takes pressure to see what's on the inside. And all of us, you know, all of us have learned the world's way of cleaning the outside of the cup and looking good and presenting ourselves. Being able to present ourselves so that it's acceptable to whomever we're with. But what about the inside? That's what we're here for. We're here to have the pressure put on us in a fashion that allows what's in us to surface. The Bible says, Jesus says, that a man speaks from the overflow of his heart. In other words, we speak what we really mean, even though after we speak it and don't like the sound of it, we many times say, I didn't mean that, but that's not true. We really mean it, or we wouldn't have said it. The key is what's on the inside of us that caused us to say it, or what's on the inside of us that caused us to behave that way. What's on the inside of us that is forcing us to be what we really don't want to be. That's the key to freedom right there. This little scripture, 25, Matthew 23, 25. 26, blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Anybody ever done dishes in here? If you pay attention to cleaning the inside of the cup, you're naturally also washing the outside of the cup. But if we just pay attention to the outside, leave the inside filthy, then it's deceptive. And that's the way most of us lived our life. All of us, every human being lives their life that way. They live their life in a fashion that they attempt to please the crowd they're with. We live not exposing the inside, because that's freedom, is when you can expose the inside and, hey, you know, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Comfortable in the skin you're in. Happy with who you are. Know who you are. Know where you're going. See, people who have to live according to the Pharisees and the scribes, they don't know who they are. You really don't know who you are if you're trying to live to please certain people, whatever crowd you're with. You know, if you're with your family, you present yourself in a certain fashion. If you're with coworkers, you present yourself in a totally different fashion. You know. It's because you don't know who you are. It's because there's stuff on the inside you don't want to express or expose to everybody. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. That creates, that breeds right there what the Bible is calling religion, hypocrisy. Religion is hypocrisy in action, where we have a message, but we don't live it. Unfortunately, the church for a long time has had the proper message, but they haven't all lived it. So many people are running from God because the representation of God that they've seen hasn't done them any good. Hasn't encouraged them, hasn't helped them. You look close enough, long enough, you'll see the hypocrisy in it all. So we're raising up, attempting to raise up, this purpose of this place right here is to raise up men of integrity. Men who know who they are. Men who have the inside of the cup dealt with. And if it's not all dealt with when you leave, you'll know how to deal with it as it arises. Because I'll tell you, the world will continue to put pressure on you and batter and bruise you until either everything on the inside that's not of Christ will be surfaced and dealt with, or you'll eventually slide back into that old mode of living, of trying to present yourself to be presentable to whatever crowd you're with. So if you feel like you're trying to present yourself to a particular group, here's how I want to act at Teen Challenge. Over here, here's how I'll act when I go out on my 7-day. Here's how I'll be when I'm with my family. You know, that's hypocrisy. That's because you got stuff on the inside. You don't know who you are. Your key for goal for being here is to find out who you are. Find out who you are. What? Find out what you're here for. I don't mean team challenge. What you're here on this earth for? What's the purpose? God does not create anything without purpose and without meaning. And as you seek Him, and as you continue to go after Him, and as you continue to deal with those things on the inside of you that display themselves in a non-acceptable way to you, either through behavior, through your words, through your actions, through the fears. Many are driven by fear. That's no way to live. Fear? Are you kidding me? No fear in God. So if you're driven by fear, that's because there's something on the inside of you that's holding you back. See, those are things you need to be talking to God about and investigating. Those are the things that if you can't get on top of them and find peace with them, you need to hightail it into my office and ask me, here's what I'm struggling with, and I need some help with that. You're not going to be judged. You're going to be helped. And when you leave, you'll be stronger than when you came in. Why? Because I know God will never fail you. Never fails you. If you step toward Him, He'll run towards you. And all it takes is a person whose desire is to be new, to be different, to be free. Freedom isn't getting by with things and not getting caught. That's not freedom. It's kind of what the culture is saying these days. Well, it wasn't wrong until I got caught. You kidding me? It's either right or wrong. It's either truth or lie. It's either good or evil. There's none of this gray area. Well, it's kind of good if the right people are looking, it's good, but if the wrong people are looking, it's really bad. That's not a truth. That's a cultural thing, but it's certainly not a truth. It's prison bars. Keeps you from being free. Keeps you from being able to live and at peace and relax. See, that's the key. Jesus Christ set the standard for the church that whoever abides in Him will abide in perfect peace. And I don't care what the struggle is in life. He said, if you're in Me, you'll find peace. If you're in the world, you'll find tribulation. But He said, don't worry about the world and don't worry about the tribulation. Abide in Me, you'll be in perfect peace, and together we'll both overcome the world, He says. You know, I don't have to be persuaded and pressured by the world. You and I don't have to be caught up in fear because the economy's going in the tank. You and I don't have to be caught up in fear because war is raging all around the world. You and I don't have to be caught up in any of that stuff. Why? We live in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, we know who we are. We can see who we are. And what we don't like about us, God will speak to and help us get rid of it. That's simple. And I don't mean about pray about it and hope something happens within the next 2 or 3 years. I'm talking about learning to talk to God in such a fashion that it can happen right now. Not tomorrow, not in the sweet by and by, right now. People say, ask them about what's going on. Well, I'm praying about whatever this is. And I'll ask them, what's God say? Well, I haven't heard anything yet. Can I tell you something? If you're praying about it and haven't heard anything yet, you're really not praying about it. Prayer means communication. God's not a Aladdin's lamp we can rub just right. He's not a genie in a bottle or whatever those things are. He's not that. He's not a... He's God. Creator and sovereign over the earth, and He can be sovereign over your life if you give Him permission, and in the struggles you're dealing with, He'll talk to you. And when God talks to you and you receive it, you always change. You can't help but change. When God speaks, He changes us. When God speaks into the society, when God speaks, if He can speak through you, He'll change what's around you. See, learning to communicate with God and learning to detect His communication to you and being able to receive that and being able to walk with Him in that is the key to success. I don't care who you are, where you live, or what you're up to. If you get accustomed to running to God every time something is, every time you struggle with something, instead of trying to figure it out, run to God. See, you haven't been able to figure out anything yet, neither have I. So quit trying. Tell your mind just now, relax. If you get into a habit of running to God every time you struggle with anything, every time you find something you don't know how to get over or under or through, you're setting yourself up for to allow God to use you for miracles. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. God's voice in the earth changes the earth. God proved that to me on several occasions as I walked with Him. And I'm the first one to admit proudly that I don't know anything. I really don't. I know the one who knows it all. But I don't know anything, and I'm not pretending to know anything. And so if you come and ask me about an issue, I'm not going to say, well, here's what I think. I'm just going to say, so now let's talk to God. And He always talks to us. He always talks to me. All right? Now, the day I went to the hospital to minister to a family whose young man, whose son and husband and father and uncle and enemy, he was the enemy of many, He'd overdosed on drugs and he's been brain dead for 38 hours. So I went to the hospital to minister to the family. How do you minister to a family in a situation like that? How do you do that? What, do you grab mama's hand and pat the back of her hand and say, you poor, poor thing, you? This young man that I had found out about, I didn't know much about him going in, but it didn't take me very long after being there to find out that he'd attempted suicide his whole life. He had scars all over his body. He'd shot himself several times. He'd cut his throat several times. He drank Clorox, bleach. Horrible things he did to himself, trying to kill himself. You know what age it started? Seven. Seven. Tried to burn his family's house down. When they caught him and put him in detention, whatever that is, for a seven-year-old, he began to try to kill himself. That's a pretty good sign something's wrong. Would you say? Yeah. Pretty good sign something's wrong. So they analyzed him up one side and down the other. They did everything but physically dissect the guy. Nothing happened. He got worse. Then when he grew up to be a big guy, he became a drug addict and a drug dealer. Trying to deal with his pain. There he was, stretched out on a slab, deader than a mackerel. How do you minister to things like that? Went in and gathered around him and held hands with his family and okay, God, now what? What do I say? You know, I mean, in my mind, I'm going like, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm following you. And I heard these words. Bind the death angel. Call life into Dennis's body. Which I did. I just said, death angel, we bind you in Jesus' name. We call life into Dennis's body. And the dead man sat up. He was out of his mind. He was a raving maniac. So what good is it for a man to come back to life and being a raging maniac? Doctor said, if he lives very long, he'll be incarcerated and he'll be this way his whole life. His brain's fried. And then I found myself standing to my feet without even knowing I was going to stand on my feet. And I said, what God began, God completes. And then I sat back down. And he said, pardon me? Well, I had to follow through. I said, what God begins, God completes. And he shook his head and went, whatever. And he left. Three days later, Dennis came back to his right mind, got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Lived several more years after that. All because I didn't know what to do, and I just spoke what God told me to speak. I'm in the habit of doing that. It wasn't a new experience for me at that point, see? I didn't know what else to say. He was saying, bind the death angel, call life into his body, so I did. When in doubt, do what God tells you. I'm telling you to do what God tells you, even if there is no doubt. You think you know what to do? You don't. You don't. Every miracle I've ever seen is only because I haven't known what to do going in. And I've gone in following God, and God has always spoke, and God always leads, and God always produces change in the life where He is. Always. Not occasionally. So you see, when the issues of your life begin to surface, and you don't like what you're saying, what you're hearing out of your mouth, you don't like that. You don't like what your actions are. You don't like the inner feelings that you're contending with. You don't like the fear that's driving you. You don't like these things. Then that's the moment that you need to say, there's some crud on the inside of my cup, Lord. And right now, I don't like this fear that's driving me. Can you help me? And that's all he's waiting for. He'll say, why, sure. Fear's not an issue with me. See, don't ever say, I didn't mean that. No, you did too. If it came out of your mouth, you meant it. No man speaks unless he speaks in the overflow of his heart. Don't use that weak, lame, hypocritical excuse. I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. Now not only are you a whatever, you're a liar too when you say, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. You got to understand how your mind works, how you work. You got to understand the reason for this stuff coming to the surface. You new guys just came in yesterday. You're going to begin to feel the pressure. Living with 40 other angels is not easy sometimes. Not because they're bad guys. They're not bad guys. They're hurting guys. They're just like you. Everybody's a different place here. But just the pressure of communal living in this quarters, and the quarters we have, will produce pressure. And that's a design. It's designed to do that. Because we want what's in you to come out. Because what's in you is what's hurt you all these years. What's in you is what kept you from being free all your life. What's hurt you has made you less than God designed you to be. See, here's the thing you've got to recognize. Not a man in here is living up to the full potential that they have yet. I'm probably not either. I've been walking with God 30-some years. I'm probably not living up to full potential either, but by golly, I'm not going to quit pushing in until He either takes me out or I'm either going to succeed or I'm going to be taken out, one of the two. And to me, both of them are success. Why give up? Why quit when the going gets rough? That's what the world does. Going gets rough, they run. Have a struggle in a relationship? Well, just throw them away. Get a new relationship. You don't like your job? Well, heck with your job. Go find another job. It's no way to live life, constantly on the run. So when you find the pressure here, first thing your mind's going to be, let's run, let's get out of here, let's go. We can do this on our own. No, you can't. I guarantee you can't. You will be eventually, but you can't now. So realize, pressure's coming, and all that is, it's going to expose the crud on the inside of your cup. That's all it is. And the crud on your inside of the cup is not hard to get rid of if you've got the guts to stand in front of God and say, God, I don't like what I'm feeling. I need some help. He'll help you. And you can't just come up here and fall on your face in front of God and say, oh, God, take away all my pain. He won't do it. He can't. Some of you are looking at me shocked. He can't. Well, has he? No. Well, he can't. He can't. See, if all we had to do is one little prayer, oh God, heal me of all my pain and take away all my problems, and all of a sudden, bam, bam, we're perfect. We'd go right back to life, do our own thing, and end up going to hell. Your issues and your pain and your inner struggles and stuff that's on the inside of your cup is there. And God's going to use it to build a deep and intimate and powerful relationship with you. A wonderful relationship. A relationship through whom sets you in a position where through you he can speak and miracles and life will change wherever you're at. And many times God will use you and you won't even know he's using you. The greatest miracles I've ever seen are miracles I didn't even know was taking place at the time. I've had people catch me in the stores and the street and wherever, at churches, and say, "Pastor Noel, you remember when you were in such and such a church?" And I'll have to think about it. "Yeah, I kind of do." "Well, do you remember when you talked to me?" And "No." "Tell me something good happened." "Oh, something great happened. Yeah, whatever." Those are miracles that God uses us best when we don't know he's using us at all. See, that's what you're heading for. Learn to let God use you. Learn to let God speak through you. You got to start out by dealing with the crud in your cup. Amen?
Amen?
Deal with the crud in your cup. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your ways are quite simple. We thank you, Father, you made it that way for us. I thank you for these men. I thank you, Lord, for these new men today. And God, I just believe by faith right now, these new guys today, God, that you're going to do awesome works in them. And that you're going to flow through them in ways that'll potentially shock their world. And God, we pray, I pray for wisdom, for the staff, that we might always know what to do at the right time. And God, I just feel like God's chuckling. "You know what's the right thing to do at overtime," he says. "Call on me." You're right. So Father, I pray we all have the audacity and the courage to call on you in every situation and hear from you in every situation. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad we serve a God with a sense of humor. Bless these men today, Father, I pray. Bless this place, I ask, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I boldly declare by faith that your perfect will shall be done in this place today, in Jesus' name, right here as it is in heaven. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Staff on duty, it's yours. Class will be in here at 9:15, guys.